When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
We can't go on believing this, Hugh.
I mean, what other choice do we have, man?
We are in a relationship. Scream. I mean, you know that.
We're in a relationship where we're adjusting as we go all the time.
No, I'm giving up adjusting. Welcome back. It is the midday show.
We in this thing for at least 3 more years.
No, we can yell and give up and
We can definitely yell,
but curse at each other.
Yeah. We can call each other mean, hurtful names. We can and stand we up.
I haven't stood up yet. All right, I'm not going to stand up this segment because we have company here. Mondays with Rhea, brought to you by Xfinity, proud sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place. Xfinity, imagine that. Rhea, good morning.
Good morning. I would like to not happily report that the nasty cold I acquired last Sunday has lasted longer than the Sixers series with the Knicks.
Well, so. That's what happens with sweeps. Yes. Cold can linger for 2 weeks.
Oh, it's lingering.
A sweep does not last that long. Rhea, your reaction yesterday as the Sixers go out. I mean, look, I think we all realized this was going to end soon after Friday night, after being down 0-3. But to be down 47 points at home in an elimination game is a new low. And the Sixers seem to find new lows every time they get knocked out of the playoffs.
This is true. Could they? Okay, they have to stop playing on Mother's Day and Father's Day.
So
because they got crushed on the Father's Day. Remember, that was when the season started late because of COVID.
That was the Atlanta Hawks when Ben went and dunked. So 2019 was the shot by Kawhi, Mother's Day. 2021, Ben went and dunk against the Hawks. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. 3 years ago in Boston was the Mother's Day massacre up there, and then we get yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, no more.
We don't want to celebrate with you people anymore.
No more.
No, 5 minutes in. What bothered me the most, you can miss your shots, and obviously Maxey was, 1 for 7 from 3. But you have to defend. Those shots that the Knicks were hitting, they were not being defended on.
It was a shoot-around.
It was a shoot-around.
It felt like there were no Sixers on the court. Yeah. I'm like, McBride is open again?
Again.
Can someone put a hand in his face?
It was remarkable. 5 minutes in, and I made it to the third quarter. And I think I text my sister, and I said, I'm torn between watching the rest of this game or just scrolling through my phone and liking.
They call that doom scrolling.
No, I wasn't. I like a lot of pit bull videos. Anything that has pit bulls on them, I love them. So I found myself sitting there and I'm watching the game and I'm like, oh, that's kind of cute. Oh, they just scored again. And I'm like, I was with you when it got to I think when Embiid sat down, I said, I think I'm free to go now.
So I was kind
of, I'm out of jail.
I was kind of half looking and half looking away, and then I looked up and it was 118-79. I was like, let's just turn this off.
Yeah, ain't nobody.
I've done yeoman's work here.
Yes, I've put in 3/4 of this nonsense. It was bad in a lot of ways. And you're right, the defense, it almost felt like they gave up yesterday, defensively.
Gave up like 3 minutes into the game.
I know.
I've never seen anything like that. And the point was, you battled to come back from 3-1. It's not like it was completely impossible.
No.
But the minute they stepped on the court, it was impossible.
Well, they had no fight, and it was embarrassing. And Rhea, I was saying this, it feels ironic in a sad way, because when they started this thing all those years ago, right, they tore the team apart because they didn't want to be stuck in the middle, right? They wanted to build a great team.
Yeah.
Rhea, they're stuck in the middle. It's like a dog chasing its tail. It's the same story.
I want to say I told you all that karma was going to bite you all in the blister.
It did bite
them.
But,
you know, I mean, it's because other teams, that was always the excuse. Well, this team tanked and this team. Well, they've all gotten better.
Yep.
They've all gone further.
Well, yes.
It was the problem was it was built upon a faulty foundation. When your foundation is built upon a player who is injured the first 2 years of his career. Now, the first one, you know, it was injury from high school, from college. But the second year was because he didn't rehab the injury. So it was built upon a faulty foundation.
Yeah, when you watch the teams in the playoffs right now, they either have one great star that's like durable and great, or they have an amazing depth, or both. Yeah. And we don't have either of those things here. We have some good players, but no depth to the team. And then there's the Embiid thing. Really, I want you to hear this one, because Embiid had quite the press conference yesterday. He pulled one out of the Sirianni playbook of bringing the kid to the press conference.
I will just say I had to bite my tongue this morning. because I didn't like it. And we went after Sirianni on it. Really yeah, didn't.
I just, it doesn't feel like it's the right spot. It isn't, again, the kid, I mean, the kid seems like a great
nothing
kid.
Get the, nothing
but
to get
you
the
just
child.
Don't bring the kid there.
To a win, it's fine.
Yes. But even if you win, you're down 3-1. It's a weird spot.
But
to
I'm okay with it. It doesn't hit odd.
It does. But you're right. And Sirianni did bring the kid after a win. They did beat the Browns that day. Now,
well, it was the Browns.
It was the Browns.
And it was quite difficult.
And he did scream at the people in the crowd. I mean, I'm sure
Sirianni was sitting at home watching it. And I was like, going,
oh, they gave him grace.
Well, is he going to get killed like me?
Well, he shouldn't have brought the kid. I'll say it. It's a weird look. But here's one of the things he said yesterday. Let's hear Embiid on what he wants his legacy to be whenever he's done playing basketball.
No, I don't care. I got this beautiful young man. You guys might have taken away my chance to put my daughter to sleep. My wife is going to be extremely mad at me. That's all I care about. I got my family. I got, my kids. Hopefully, I get more. I got my mom, my dad. I don't know. I could care less about, what people think about me when it comes to basketball. I think I've done a lot of stuff off the court, so hopefully that's the part that's remembered, whether it's here in Philadelphia, all over the U.S., in Africa. And that's been my goal. My focus is just, keep doing, keep improving in these things and keep helping people. So, yes, I mean, to answer your question, that's really what I want my legacy to be. You know, basketball is just a platform.
No, basketball is what you're paid to do.
Yeah, a lot of money.
I mean, I'm just, all those things are one, and he's by all accounts, never gets in any trouble. Good guy. Seems like a great family man. Arthur's incredibly adorable.
Yep.
The question was asked about your basketball.
Not your life legacy, your basketball legacy.
Yeah, I mean, it's to say basketball doesn't matter, it's what you're paid to do.
Well, I thought he hid behind the kid and his family there.
It's your job. It's just your job.
Also, it's nobody there's fault. He has to do a press conference. He can't put the younger one to bed. That's his duty as an NBA player, right? They have to speak after the game. That's just like, well, you guys are making me late for bedtime. No, they're not. No, that's just your job, Joel.
Yeah. I mean, I'm listening and I'm cringing. I'm listening to you guys talk, and you're right, because you're trying to humanize something that a lot of people, they get it, but they're not going to understand, because basketball is your livelihood.
You're having a news conference because you lost the game. Basketball.
Yes, and
I mean, just
and you're and the thing is, you're reflecting, like, everything that you said is true,
and that's all great.
Yeah, it is about your legacy and what you've been able to put, the position you've been able to put.
It's like
your
you have an amazing family. I mean, it's awesome.
But at that moment, it's really read the room.
It's about the game.
Nobody cares about all of that. Nobody cares about the fact that you have a great family, which I'm pretty sure you do. And I hope you're hearing this the right way if you're listening to it. None of that matters when you're talking to people.
After what just happened.
This is the reality. You're in a great spot. And I think this is where you have to keep it in perspective. Because there's a lot of people that made sacrifices to come to that game, to watch you play, to support you.
Mother's Day.
Yeah, yes. Not only that.
Did you see that one guy who was interviewed? I got to make it up to my mom somehow.
Gas is high. Gas is high. And people are making, financial sacrifices. And you got to understand that some people, when they hear you say that, it rubs them the wrong way. That's the reality of it.
The question is about basketball.
Yeah, and to have that kind of effort out there, and then to sit there and say that, it's almost like a smack in the face to the average everyday person.
That wasn't the one. It was the success. That was the one that bothered me more than that, because I expect players to do that now. But when you hear the quote, it's like, yeah, okay, look, we're talking to you about basketball. The success quote was the one that got me.
It makes me feel like it's when I think of some players, they die to win and lose. He doesn't. Mm. I mean, I it's not about physical toughness. I just don't think he cares about winning and losing the way some great players. Look, when Kobe Bryant lost the game, it looked like he wanted to die. He didn't want it. He couldn't handle it. He couldn't wait till the next season. With Joel, it's like, well, I had a good season.
I mean, it's a success because you weren't sure you could play because of the knee. 38 games.
38.
Yeah.
And that's a success? Like, what's a not success?
No, 2018? I get it. And it's, I'm sitting here while you guys are talking about it, and I'm trying to figure out when there was the disconnect. Because I grew up in an era where, and I played with some guys, that's all that mattered.
Oh, yeah, playing.
The money was nice. The money's nice. The money puts you in a position to take care of your family, but the game and the legacy was something that meant more to you than anything else. It's tied to the money that they're making now.
The money's so out of whack.
It's
hard to fathom it.
Because when you're talking about the money that they're making right now, you're immortalized, regardless if you like it or not. You know, and you know, we make fun and talk about the fact that, you know, when I talk about Tobias Harris and what he's been able to accomplish. Rhea, when you look at just the monetary standpoint, he's made a ton of money. Hasn't celebrated any All-Star appearance. Yep. They playing his ass off in the playoffs.
Wait, didn't
now.
Somebody tell me he was a Hall of Famer?
Well, Dr. J. Yeah. Dr. J.
But that's the disconnect. Yeah. Because now you have guys. In order to be that upper echelon star back in the day, you had to go out there and ball out. And when you went out there and balled out, the money was parallel to the way that you played. Nowadays, it's not like
that. Well, and it's not like, I mean, the NFL... Outside of the very top echelon, they can cut you at any time.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah, you have to play with an edge in that game.
That's the difference. And it's not, that's just the way guys see it now. Because it's like their success a lot of times, and I don't know if this is Joel Embiid's in the way that he thinks about it, but success nowadays is tied to how much money you make. It's not tied to how many championships you have.
But I don't think that's most athletes. I think
it's a lot more than it has been in the past.
There's more money now. But like, let's just use another one here in town. Could you ever imagine Jalen Hurts going to the podium after an Eagles playoff loss and saying my season was a success?
Again, different mentality.
That's the problem. Yeah. But Joel doesn't have Jalen's mentality.
But even in football, it's starting to change though, Joe.
Not like,
it is because think about.
But could you ever imagine Jalen? Let's use Jalen as the example. Jalen Hurts going to the podium, Eagles losing the playoffs. I had a good season
because I mean you know, I, he you know would why
never.
Like that?
He would never
because the money is a part of it. But you only got 17 chances to prove somebody wrong. And basketball is different.
Well, how about Bryce? I can't imagine.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bryce doing that.
Bryce, you're talking about he had a good season. All depends on what happens this year. Because he has had a bounce back season.
Yeah, but again, I can't imagine Bryce at the podium saying, I found my season a success
after losing the playoffs. His president of baseball operations put him in the mode of having to defend himself.
Yeah.
I mean, when he said he wasn't elite.
You really don't think Bryce would do that?
That's what I'm about to say.
I could so easily see Bryce doing that.
Bryce,
he just did the thing where he asked everybody else. Just did that.
I can't see it at the post game after they get knocked out of the playoffs. Maybe I'm wrong. If it happens this year, it happens this year.
I think if there's one guy I wouldn't put it past, it's probably Bryce.
Yeah.
It just feels so tone deaf.
Are you talking about the night of?
The night of. Not like in retrospect, I had a good year.
Yeah, not like the exit interview days after.
Like they walked off the court and he's holding his kid saying, I had a successful year.
But see, and
dude, if you went 4-for-4 with a home run and they lost.
And here's another thing with
Joel Embiid.
Well,
I'd yell at him too if he did it.
Here's another thing that I feel with Joel Embiid. Now, I don't know if this is to be true, but I feel like for Joel Embiid, when he talks a lot of times and when he said what he's talking about, he's weighing the scrutiny over what he's been through. And then he's trying to, you know, I guess come to grips about the kind of season they had dealing with all the stuff that he had to deal with during this season. That's what it kind of sounds like to me, Joe. And when it comes off and when fans
the thing is, he knows it's going to come off. He goes, I know this is not the mentality.
Yeah, but that's how he feels.
And you know, and here's the thing is, we've spent all this time talking about Embiid when my number one problem is Daryl Morey.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the guy. Who conveniently
hopped on a plane to Chicago.
Hopped on a plane. By the way, there's a 6:30 a.m. flight to Chicago that leaves out of Philadelphia. Could have gotten on that one.
Also, Rhea, they don't have a top 5 pick in the lottery. He has a 22nd pick. I'm not saying he shouldn't be there, right? If he's going to run the team, he should go to the combine. But like,
yeah, but the priority is not as great.
Right? Like
as
if they had a top
you have
five.
A staff for that.
Yes,
you have a staff. You have scouts for it.
If
you
had to evaluate the number one overall player, that's like I got to get there. He ran away.
He leaves stuff for Nick Nurse to handle. You know, and I haven't always been thrilled with his coaching. That man doesn't know if he's going to have Embiid till Friday.
Yeah.
When did they announce that Embiid was playing? What, like an hour before?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I mean, I kind of feel bad for him, but he's got to take his bullets. Maxie is up there being asked about the acquisition. That is the funniest thing.
Him being asked about the McCain thing and the trade deadline?
Because he's like, And you just see Vijay. Vijay puts his head in and he's looking down like, I'm a rookie. I'm out on this one. I mean, it was embarrassing.
You put him in bad spots. You put him in bad spots to ask the question
exactly,
that you didn't answer.
Because you're not here to answer them.
Yeah. You said nurse. Did you see the moment on camera yesterday? Oh, I think it was towards the end. Brett Brown in his yes. final series as Sixers yes. coach slumped his head back, Hugh. Like he just said, yeah. I'm done, right?
John actually had a great line. He said, I'd like to see what Nick Nurse looked like at the beginning of his tenure with the Sixers.
Yeah.
And now, kind of like
how high age.
Well, how presidents age yeah. in 4 years.
He's aging like a sitting president.
Yes.
He's aging in dog years. And it's exactly. crazy. Let's go to Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
You know, Joel said something earlier in that one clip you guys played about, I need to get back to my old self. No, dude, you don't. We don't want you to be your old self because all you've done is lost in the second round every single time. And all you do is play maybe half the games. And you scored 24 points last night and 5 rebounds. And nobody got a body on any of those 3-point shooters. You played 0 defense, 5 rebounds. Dude, you're 7'2". Get the ball.
You know what I noticed, Jeff? Speaking of his body and how he can't do what he needs to do anymore. I noticed a couple times yesterday where instead of trying to get the rebound on defense, he just started backing up so he wouldn't be beat down the floor.
Trying to get in position.
Like, yeah. right, like
exactly. cheating.
He was cheating. Yeah. He was cheating yeah. because he knows he can't sprint
can't
to everybody
anymore.
Else.
Yeah.
It's crazy. He's still a skilled enough offensive player that he's viable on
Absolutely.
That end because he could shoot. But on the defensive side, it's night and day from what he used yeah. to be.
It was embarrassing, and it's a shame because I want them to trade him. But I don't think they will. And also, Bryce Harper already did that earlier this year when the team was really struggling. And the reporters were asking him about. yeah. He's like, I don't know about the other guys.
He said, ask everyone else.
Paraphrasing. Oh, yeah, that did. Yeah.
He did.
All right, Bryce Harper will do it.
All right. I meant specifically yeah. after a playoff loss.
You might want to adjust that.
Well, we can go back. I can't remember one.
Based upon new information, yeah. Bryce is off of this
All
list.
Right. Bryce is a maybe. I can never imagine yeah. Hurts doing
no,
that.
Like, give him a chance. Yeah. I think
Jalen, I don't think, would ever even.
Jalen would never do that.
No, he wouldn't do that.
No, Jalen's mentality is better than all theirs. Yeah.
Harper would.
Harper might.
Based upon new information, Harper probably would.
I kind of feel bad for Maxey and Edgecombe because they had to play so many minutes. Yeah. I'm not giving an excuse that they were tired, but they can't continue to carry the load when you don't have anyone else around you.
And I do think Maxey's finger played a role in his shooting dropping yeah. off. I mean, because he was a different player from the Boston series to this series, and yeah. just felt like he didn't want to go to the
basket.
He got
jammed again, yeah. he said, in that game
yeah.
7.
Yeah, and if he's not shooting, they just can't score enough.
And I am looking forward to next year with the Flyers. They do have something going on here.
Well, what and, a contrast, Jeff. You know, Saturday night, right, the people cheering, yeah. let's go Flyers, after yeah. they lose in overtime compared to yeah. whatever the reaction was at the end of that game. And Jeff, good phone call. Marie,
well,
it's
they
night
competed.
And day. Yes.
They competed.
They fought hard, man.
They made people proud. I mean, yeah. that's...
But they've got to change it for next year. I mean, they've got to...
They're not good enough
Jonesy
yet.
And company, yep. those guys, they've got to fill in the holes that they have. But yeah, it was... When that puck went out, I was like, oh. yeah. I was bummed, but yep. I wasn't mad.
It was almost like you're bummed you're not going to be able to watch the Flyers anymore until next year. With yes. the Sixers, I couldn't wait for the minutes to tick off the clock.
That game felt like it went on for hours.
You know, yeah, I still was holding out hope.
It was no. That was an easy one to turn off at halftime, dude. Sorry.
Cut it to 15. But then the reality kicked in when, you know, Ernie and those guys out there with the brooms. And I was like, yeah, might well go ahead and start doing something else.
The Flyers, I felt more bad for the players, like the guys on the team, that it was over.
Yeah.
And with the effort that they put in, I think all the fans are sort of on the same page. Good job.
Yeah,
that's the start, and we'll adjust our expectations accordingly from here on out.
Yeah, you feel good when the Flyers season ends with the Sixers, and I think the other part of it, Rhea, is the Flyers. This is the first year of the whatever this is going to be with the Sixers. Yeah. I don't even know what year it is.
Three guys on max contracts. Like the Flyers should not have been there.
Yes, absolutely. Let's go to Dennis in Newtown. Dennis.
Hey. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Dennis.
Man.
Bad, bad, bad weekend for Philly sports. So, hey, you. How's the quest to become a professional baseball player going for you?
Well, you know,
everything
I'm still
going
we're in the talking phase. You know, I reached out to Ryan Howard Friday. he laughed.
Why don't you tell everyone what he said?
He had a hearty laugh. He had a hearty laugh. Has not gotten back to me yet.
There's a shock.
You know, he's like, what the hell?
I think he needs like, something that he feels like he can work with if he's going to do that.
Well, he gave me a point. He said he told me I was swinging with too much body. He said I had too much body.
Has he seen you? Right.
Yeah.
It's a lot of body there.
Yeah. And you, buddy, don't worry. You got plenty of time to figure this out in life.
I got time.
Yep, still early.
Listen, yesterday, I don't want to single anybody out. It was an epic fail from tip-off to the end of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, every aspect. I've been watching pro sports since the 60s. I don't think I've seen a whooping like that, especially on the Sixers side. But I'll tell you, I was up in New York yesterday visiting my daughter. My wife and I were up there, and we went into a bar. What a mistake that was. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
You didn't have any Sixers gear on, did you?
You know, that's Rhea, that's the first lesson of combat that I learned. When you go into enemy territory,
don't.
You never have.
Good.
You never have anything on.
You got to go in there neutral, dog. You got to go in there neutral.
But I got to tell you what, I would have been able to pick myself out because I wasn't cheering. I was just looking at the screen. And what a tough day. I always remember that. But you know what? The real answer here is, and it's never going to happen, just don't buy tickets and don't watch them anymore. It's just, they're going to be the same next year. They can't get rid of those contracts. This is a team that's just wallowing right now in the water without a leader. And, you know, I don't think we can expect anything different next year.
Probably not. They're stuck. I mean, they're stuck at least for another year or two, probably. I mean, it's unfortunate because
he's got three more years left on that contract.
And Dennis, good call. It starts now, the extension. Actually, it hadn't kicked in yet. This kicks in when next season starts.
We said it was insane when it happened.
Yes.
And it's even more insane.
It's one of those things when that contract came across for you, like everyone looked like, wait, what? Wait, excuse me? Three years and on top of what he had?
And I forget who reported it.
With a bum knee.
Yes.
Yeah, somebody had reported that even Embiid was surprised that they came to him with the contract extension.
Wait, you want to hand me how much money? What?
Okay.
Sure.
I don't blame him for signing it. I would have done the same thing.
No, that's on Maury, and that's on Harris, and that's
Maury.
On them.
Hope he's enjoying Chicago.
Yeah, away from all of us. All right, Rhea, we appreciate you hopping on. Feel better, and we will we will talk to you next week. All right, a lot to get to. We'll get to the other sweep that happened this weekend as well. The Flyers won the beginning of an era. We'll talk about their season ending, our thoughts on the Flyers as they go down on Saturday night to the Hurricanes, and your take on the Sixers, 215-592-9494. A tough ending yesterday. I think yesterday we saw the end of the Joel Embiid era. Now, how long it takes for it to actually become practically the ending, we'll see. But for me, it's over. The Embiid era ended yesterday, would have thought. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94. For WIP.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.